I just want to say before I start that much of what I'm going to say is based on, obviously most of it comes from Shulchan Aruch, but certain specific things are based on the Psakim of Rapil, David, Shlita. And if you find something surprising to you, then obviously you have to consult your own Rav as to which specific, for example, which specific Chumra you should keep or should not keep. And I don't mean to take away from whatever you learned in your chasson, just as a chazara, as a reminder of the various different issues involved in the calendar. And if you find something different, then please speak to your Rav and have him paskin for you. So I'm not paskining, we're just chazaring over the issues involved in the preparing the calendar of Hilchos Nida. Now, really, the topic of the calendar is quite extensive, and to cover it properly would take quite a while. However, most of what's relevant to us is really only the halachas that apply to a woman who has an irregular period, irregular periods, an irregular cycle. In the olden days, it used to be a woman was kavua, and she had a set fixed cycle. She would see, for example, every 29 days in the daytime, without fail, she would get a period. Not only that, she would even get it usually almost to the hour. Like every 29 days during the day, by lunchtime, she got a period. Nowadays, most women are not like that. They're not so fixed. Not fixed necessarily to the day of the month. Not fixed necessarily to the amount of the interval in between periods. And therefore, the halachas are different. So I'm going to focus specifically on the halachas of a woman who has a vest, she'eino kavua, a vest which is not regular. If by some chance you happen to notice when you're keeping track of the periods that there is some type of pattern, so it's worthwhile to bring the calendar to a Rav and show it to him and see if that is considered to be kavua or not. But we're going to focus on a vest she'eino kavua. So there are three calculations that one must make in order to figure out when to stay away, assuming she does not have a kfiz. The first one is a yom ha-chodesh. It says yom l'chodesh, it should really be yom ha-chodesh, which is the day of the month. Whichever day she got her period, let's just say, for example, looking at the calendar, she got her period on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and she needs to stay away next time on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. She got her period on Gimel, and she has to stay away on Gimel. Again, sticking to the same oinah. We have to pay attention to day or night.
Oh, 1 second. Maybe Rosh Chodesh is a little bit...
I won't use the word Rosh Chodesh. Aleph.
Exactly.
Aleph. Okay, I'll say Aleph. If it was Aleph Nisan, you have to stay away Aleph Iyar. If it was Gimel, you stay away Gimel by day. She got it last time. She got a Nisan by day, you stay away Iyar by day. Doesn't matter to me what happens in Adar. If Adar, she got it by night, even if the last four times she had it at night, now she got it by day, you stay away by day. So if it's Aleph by day, you stay away Iyar on Aleph Iyar by day. Now what happens if she... No, before I get to that, 1 second. It is possible to have two Yom HaChodeshes. When we say Yom HaChodesh, that means somehow something about the day of the month is regulating her cycle that we expect that since last time she got it on Aleph, so that same thing that caused her to get a period on Aleph might be regulating her cycle that she'll get it again on Aleph. I can't say I understand it, but that's what Chazal say. There's something about Aleph that'll make her get her, that she can expect to get her period again on Aleph Iyar. Now what happens if she sees on Aleph Nisan, and then she sees again on Chaf Nisan? She had a very short period. It's unusual, but it could happen. So now she's going to, she'll keep 5 days, so she'll go Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Chav Dal, she'll keep 5 days. And then she'll count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Alright, and this wasn't a good example. Alright, let's say it was Yutes. She got a period of Aleph, and then Yutes. She'll go to the mikvah on Lamed at night. And then comes the next day, is she mutter or not? Do we assume, well, she got a period on Aleph, and then she got a period on Yutes?
No, it is the exact day of the prime month.
Okay, so now, Wait. She got her period on Aleph Nisan.
And then she got another one.
Then she got another one on Yutes.
So Yutes the month.
So now what happens when it comes to Aleph here? Now she went to the mikveh on Lamed. Now comes the next day, is she mutter to her husband or not? Does he have to stay away? Yes. Because on the Yom HaChodesh, it's possible to have this. What, sorry, there's something. It could be 2 days in the month.
It's not the Yom HaChodesh. The Yud, where are you, Ted? Of the other month?
No. One second. Let me backtrack a second. When she sees her period on your test, you're going to make. You're going to make the calculations. You're going to make it again.
From this.
You're going to make it again from your test. One second. No, in the middle of talking. Yeah, come. Okay. So when she sees it on your test, you're going to make the cheshbonus again to next month. You're going to have to stay away on your test.
Right.
Yeah. But Aleph never disappeared.
Why?
Because unless, this is the rule to remember about Yom HaChodesh. Listen to the rule.
Yeah.
In order to get rid of a Yom HaChodesh, you have to pass by that day of the month without seeing blood. You have to pass by that day of the month without seeing blood. That will prove to you that day is not regulating her cycle at all.
You will have to pass that day?
In other words, now, let's say, she sees on your test,
yeah.
And then Aleph, she doesn't see blood, and she sees blood again on Yud Zayin.
Yeah.
Yud Zayin here. So then, for Sivan, Aleph now is gone.
Let's say she sees on...
One second. I want to get this point finished. So Aleph, until you pass by Aleph without seeing them, the day of the month still sticks around.
Let me ask you another question.
Go ahead. Hold your question. Yeah? She sees here, and then you test.
Now, let's see that she sees here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees here.
Well, it won't matter. She'll be Anita anyway. She'll be seeing blood already over here. She's Anita anyway. It's irrelevant.
She'll be away anyway.
That's really my question. Does the wife bath that day?
I'm getting to that in a second. That's the next thing to say.
The what?
One second. I'm getting to this question. So let's go to your question. Okay?
Oh, so we need
let's say she sees a Nida on, she becomes a Nida on, it's easier, on Choftes, okay? And she has a very heavy flow, and she sees on Choftes, Lamed and Aleph.
Yeah.
Fresh red blood. What?
She's Nida.
Yeah, yeah. What happens now in Sivan?
You have to stay away again because
yes.
You didn't prove it.
Exactly. Gustavo was right.
Do you have to stay away these and the other one, 4 days?
Well, 1 minute. Then we're going to... you're going to have to stay away. We'll have to make... I didn't finish all the calculations. You'll have to make the cheshbonus from Choftes to here, to Choftes.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the Yom HaChodesh for now. You'll have to stay away Choftes here because of Yom HaChodesh.
Yeah.
And you will still have to stay away Aleph... Sivan,
that's what I don't get.
Because of this Aleph. Let me explain to you something. Let's say that there's something about Aleph that causes her to get her period. Okay? There's something about Aleph that is regulating and making her get her period. That she can expect to see blood on Aleph. Was she seeing blood on Aleph?
Yes.
Was she seeing blood on Aleph? 1 minute. Did she see blood here?
Yes.
She got a period here. She saw blood here, and blood here. And then first it started getting clean over here. On Aleph ear, she was seeing fresh blood.
Well, what if she sees just these days?
Wait a minute. No. Then Aleph is gone.
Okay.
Yes, right. Correct.
Okay.
I didn't say it. I said specifically she had a very heavy flow,
right. So
and she saw on Choftes, Lamed, and Aleph.
What if she sees here?
Then Aleph is gone.
Here?
For sure, she's not going to see blood, fresh blood, for 6 days, usually. I mean, if she did, she did. But let's say she got a period on Chavav.
Yeah.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, she's probably clean here or here. She's getting cleaner.
I'm saying the other month.
Yes, so then, you'll go from here. She sees Chavav.
Yes.
So then, well, here she's anyway. You're going to have to stay away because she didn't go to the mikveh yet.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Correct? First you count 5 days and then you count 7.
I know that you can be, but my question is, next month, okay?
Yes.
Aleph, you need to stay away?
Right.
She's
yes.
A Nida.
No, next month.
No. She didn't see fresh blood here. There was no red blood on Aleph.
So,
with your example.
So what is she here?
Then,
no, you test. I mean,
what is the point in which you have
to... I gave you an example where she went to the mix already on purpose. She saw on your test.
Okay, so one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, she got clean.
One.
Now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is Lamed. She goes to the mikvah on Lamed.
Aleph, you need to stay away.
Now Aleph, really, she went to the mikvah. She's not a Nida now.
No.
She's not a nida, but you have to stay away because it's a calendar day. Because of Aleph Nisan.
Because it's Yom HaChodesh.
Not on Yom HaChodesh, no.
Even in Lil
Tefillah,
you have to be...
Yeah, well, I'll be more specific about that later, but yeah, you have to stay away anyway. Yes.
Let's say this night you stay away, right? She doesn't say blow.
Then it's gone. Then
Aleph next Aleph, it's gone. Okay.
Gone.
So you prove that your wife, she's not Yom HaChodesh.
Right. Okay. Well, Aleph for her is not going to make her see blood.
Okay. Got it.
Okay? I mean, the example that I just wrote there in a different example. I just wrote, let's say she gets her period on the 3rd of Nisan, then she has to stay away on 3 Iyar. But what happens if she gets her period on Beis Iyar now? Okay, that was just the example I have written down. I'm just going through it in the notes that I have. She got a period on Beis, so now I go to... One second. Let me just... It goes back to your question, Mordechai. Let's say she got her period over here on Gimel Nisan.
Okay.
Okay, and then she got a period on Beis Iyar. So now, just the same example, just a different way. Now she was seeing fresh blood on Gimel Iyar, so it doesn't wipe out Gimel. So the next month, you have to stay away Beis because of Beis Iyar, and Gimel because of Gimel Nisan, which never got uprooted.
Okay.
So you have Beis and Gimel in terms of Sivan, which is going to be considered a Yom HaChodesh.
Why?
I just gave another example. It's the same thing as we said before. Let's say she saw again. She saw Gimel Nisan.
Yep.
And then she saw Beis. She got a period.
Okay, next one.
So she's seeing blood over here too, right?
Why?
Because she got a period here. It continues for a few days, right? Usually.
Okay.
So she's seeing fresh blood here on Gimel. So the next month you have to stay away Beis and Gimel.
Why?
Because Gimel, did she prove that Gimel is a clean day for her?
No.
No, because she's seeing blood.
She probably has to see blood this day, and probably also blood.
Probably, that's right.
So she has to say that the next time.
No, she stays away. Let me explain. She stays away Gimel on Gimel because Gimel Nisan already showed me that Gimel is a day she might see. So because she saw here, I'm afraid she might see here. And until I prove that Gimel is not something which is going to cause her to get her period.
Oh, how about the next one you got in Beis again?
Beis and Gimel. But Beis because of Beis here.
Okay, but you didn't see blood. Well, they saw blood.
She saw blood here, in my example.
Yeah.
But let's say that next month.
Yeah.
I understand she has to be up. She has to be off on Beis because
of Beis.
Yes.
But Gimel is because of Gimel here.
Why exactly?
Because she saw. She. In order to.
So Yom HaChodesh is really from the last 2 months.
Unless you uproot it, you can be accurate. If you pass by Gimel and you don't see blood, you've proved that Gimel is not going to cause her to see down.
What if next month you got on a...
Aleph?
On Aleph.
Yeah, then you have three.
Aleph,
yeah.
Is that kind of the best to be clear
that?
What do you mean?
In other words, if you've seen Aleph...
Well, in this case, you went to Gimel, Beis, Aleph. That would be... That's...
What is that
you could get? No, because it's not. You have to see a fourth time.
So one time.
Fourth time. Would that be
if she best? Went, that would be a pattern. Let's say you went from Dalit to Gimel to Beis to Aleph.
Right.
That's a pattern. A pattern.
Dalit, Gimel, Beis, Gimel, whatever. Either way, four straight months. You had Dalit for 4 months.
No,
ago,
I don't think so. No,
accurate.
No.
You weren't accurate,
but you're not showing.
Your best.
Absolutely not.
Show that you come to the start zone.
I would think so. Okay, so that's a Yom HaChodesh. The next calculation that you have to make is the Yom HaFloga, which is the interval or the amount of days between periods. Now, when I say the amount of days in between periods, it's very easy for one to make a mistake unless you stick to a very simple rule. You always count the day that she got her period is day one. How many times did I tell you that, Gustavo? The day she got her period is day one. And we count from there. And then we go to the day that she got her next period. And that's considered the last day. And then we're going to use that day again to count as day one in the future. So each period will count as the last day of the past counting. And then we'll count as day one forward in the future. So let's say she got her...
Sorry.
Yeah?
Just a question. Let's say you see a mom and there's no mom in the next
month. I forgot the answer to the question. I forgot. It's burned the storm. I forgot. Sorry. I think it's Aleph, but I don't remember.
Can I ask for, you
yeah.
Polish? Let's say in January came on the 1st, okay? So in February, the Yom HaChodesh would be the 1st, right?
I'm sorry, again?
Let's say on the 1st month, it came on Yom Aleph.
Good.
Right? Okay, so next month you have to... Yom HaChodesh is the 1st.
Aleph.
Okay? Aleph. Next month, the next month, it came on the 2nd. Good. So then on the 3rd...
So Aleph is gone. On the 3rd month, you only keep Beis. Only Beis.
Didn't you just say that you have to be...
No. Yeah, you were uprooted because when Aleph came, did she see blood? You said she saw an Aleph and Beis. On Aleph, was she clean? Was she clean on Aleph?
According to Marian Kaplan, yes.
Yes.
So Aleph is gone.
So Aleph is gone. Goodbye.
So really, Yom HaChodesh is really 2 days. If she had
no, only in this specific example that I gave you. Really, Yom HaChodesh is 1 day. It's the day of the month that she saw. The only thing is, sometimes the old month is not uprooted and it hangs around. It stays around a little longer until you uproot it. Usually, let's just say she gets her period on Aleph and then she gets a period on Chav Ches, and then probably on Aleph she's going to be clean, or she gets a period later on Beis. In all those cases, Aleph is gone. It's only an example when her period is very close to that day and she's going to see fresh blood that the Yom HaChodesh will stick around. I wouldn't say, well, it depends. If she has normally a 29-day cycle, 29-30-day cycle, then it is possible to have 2 days, depending on the month. And depending on if she'll see fresh blood on that day. It has to be fresh blood, not brown, not a brown stain. I mean, she's still seeing a flow of fresh blood.
The rule of thumb is has to be the same day of the calendar from the prior month.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was on a different day, the other day too.
And if she was seeing blood on that day, right.
No, then it
was
thinking. On a different day. When
if it was on a different day?
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Sorry that I'm sick. You gotta bear with me.
Give me an example.
Right. She got here.
Yes.
Okay. Where is it?
Aleph.
Yeah. Next month, this is the Yom HaChodesh.
Okay.
Right. Aleph again?
Aleph.
Okay. Next month.
When did she get her period?
Okay,
so she was clean here, right?
So Aleph is gone.
She's clean here.
So when did you say Aleph on bed?
No.
I didn't say that. She got a period here on Lamed.
No, you said bed. You said bed. And she got it in Aleph.
Oh, right. Okay,
so,
I'm sorry.
For next month will be Aleph on bed. But if you didn't get in Aleph, Aleph is gone.
It came this day.
No. Okay? Pick a different day of the month. Because it's easier.
Dalit.
Yeah, Dalit.
Let's say he came on you.
Good, you.
Okay. Next month, I will make this is an X. I will mark the Yom HaChodesh with an X. Okay.
Okay.
Yom HaChodesh.
Good.
Okay.
Then when did she get her period?
Came here.
Okay. Then right. This day was clean, right? Was she clean on Yud?
Yes.
She was clean on Yud ear.
Okay.
So Yud is gone.
Good, so Yud is gone. So the next month you only stay with Yud Aleph.
Okay. What if he came here?
And she was seeing fresh blood here?
Come here, obviously you're going to see blood.
I would assume that the next day she's still seeing fresh blood, right?
Right. Yeah.
So then you have Tess and Yud the next month. When you would go down, you would write Tess and Yud. That's correct.
So it's not really the month in which...
Because, why am I saying this? Because Yud never got uprooted.
So what makes something being uprooted? That if
you have to pass the day without seeing fresh blood. That's the rule.
So what if came here?
So then it depends. Most probably it's Josiah. Because she'll see fresh blood for 3 days probably.
So if she, next month.
She got her period on Zion.
Yes.
So next month is Zion. Well, was there fresh blood on Yud or no?
Yes.
I would assume, well, it depends.
So
then it's Zion and Yud.
For next month.
So then next month is Zion and Yud.
Okay. Does it make sense that, talking statistics, that the days in which he has to be separated are this and this and not this?
Yes.
Why?
Because it doesn't have to do with in between. It has to do with there's a certain day of the month that might cause her to get her period.
But all the
and it has nothing to do with
probability, right?
But based on certain rules, not just arbitrarily. this particular rule is based on the day of the month. There's something about
I know the rule.
Something about the day of the month that's going to make her get her period. And she expects to get her period on this day of the month.
It's a probability driven.
This was Gimel, and hey, happened. Did she get her period? Doesn't make Dalit any more likely.
If Yud,
one day has nothing to do with the next.
Right. She got her period here on Yud, then maybe she'll get it again. Unless you could prove that Yud is not going to cause her to see. Zayin and Yud. In your case.
And this totally, totally.
Right, exactly. Well, it could be that this will be the. All right. We have to stay. This will be day 30, by the way. You have to stay on Ches anyway because of our own abandonment, but we're not up to the end. And this, your example.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So let's move on to the Haflaga. So again, the Haflaga is the amount of the amount of days in between periods, counting the day she saw as day one and the day of the last period as the last day in the counting. So she saw on Aleph, and then she saw on Chav Dalid. That's considered to be 24 days. And then,
okay.
Well, I didn't write down the good. I didn't write down what day it is. And then she would have to stay away 24 days later. So what day would that be?
Wow.
And I remind you to, it's kedai to use your finger on every single day and don't be a chacham and try to add the, well, let me see, there's nine, 7 days. So it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So Yud Zayin would be during the day, let's say she got a period again by day, and she would stay away during the day of Yud Zayin on Thursday by day. She would stay away because of the Yom HaFlog. Yeah, it's missing here.
24th day starting from 24 Nisan.
Starting from 24 Nisan, which is ends on Yud Zayin. Should have said, I'm okay. It's a mistake here on the sheet. Yes. Yes.
Even if she was
usher
then anyway, like
you
mark down the calendar.
Even if she was usher anyway, what do you mean?
Need anyway.
How does she need anyway?
First
day of birth. For how long? For 2 weeks only. 2 weeks if you had a girl and 1 week if you had a boy.
Right, but okay, she's still
spying.
She didn't have.
You have to ask Kashi. I don't know at what point. If she's still spying the whole time.
Yes,
so what makes you say that is a period?
Flow of life.
Then it could be, yeah, you have to ask a shayla.
Could be you have to mark it down?
Yeah. I would ask a shayla, but I would think, yeah. And if it's just she happens to be getting stains that are messing her up, you know, if she's seeing it in the wrong places, in the wrong amounts, and you know, on the wrong color garment, then. I don't know. I mean, I hear a swear to say that she never really stops, so you don't have a new period. But usually, I mentioned before that stains don't count in the calendar. So when she gets her real periods, if that really happens, if your mamish gets a big flow of blood, and it's determined to be no shaykhus to her giving birth, it's a new thing, then I would assume that would be part of the calendar.
You didn't say anything to start a new pleasure, right?
But his question is, what happens if she's stained? And then she was still staying.
If you look at every month, let's say if you count 5 days, mm-hmm. The fourth day of Zainiki, and she sees again, it's not a new flow, is it?
Absolutely not. Well, she didn't.
She never became clean.
Right.
Or well, let's say.
Yeah, but what happened in his case? Let's say she never got a chance to go to the mikvah. She got a brown stain that the Rav Paskin was no good, and another stain that messed her up, and another. And she just kept these little spots that kept. She never finished with Zainiki, and then she got a period again. I mean, that would be another such example.
She's still in the first one. She never left. She never got the Zendikim.
I don't know. It's Kashayim.
Yeah, but if you're basing it on the...
Because it has to do with the period.
Then what's the next day not?
She's just getting messed up with stains.
And the next month, what do you...
Happens to me she didn't go to the mikvah in this case, but what?
If you say that it's not, if you don't mark down the calendar, let's say you wait 30 days. Let's say a client, forget about giving birth. Let's say she's Anita, she has a period. And then she's spotting for whatever
right,
reason.
Right, that's the example I just said. Right, right.
And she sees blood.
And then again, after 3 weeks, she got a very early period again.
So you have to mark it down somehow, because otherwise the next month, then what's called I not? What's you know, the original first time that you saw?
Yeah, that's the other side. I mean, in theory, I could hear that, but I...
Then that's not really... The whole point right now is...
So what? No, no, if she's not considered to be finished, if we would say that she's not finished with the first period, then you would just not, there's nothing new.
Responding means doesn't mean the period.
So that, I think you're right, but I don't want to pass, and I don't know if it happens, you know, I don't wish it on anybody, trust me. Okay. So with the let's go back to the calculations of the Vesta Flogger. So you would count again. If she got it on Aleph and then she got it on Chof Dalid, so then her Yom HaFlogger would be Yud Zayin Ir. Now, I didn't have time to make copies of Sivan and so on. Yeah. Now the next, what happens the next month when she sees again? Now there is a Chumra, which I'm not going to go into, that it is possible to have 2 days of Hafloga, but in a specific example where one had a shorter Hafloga, a longer Hafloga, and then a shorter Hafloga, it's known as the Sheet of the Beis Meir. I am not going into it. I asked Tepillah about it. Tepillah told me, he said, when you first be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Puravu, and then you'll come back to me if you want to keep the Chumrah. So I'm not even going into it. Yeah, except Moshi, the Yom HaChodesh, Moshi is hold that the child to have it. From what I saw, Moshi is hold you could have 2 Yom HaChodeshes, and the example that I gave you, I saw wrote down in a few places, that you could, you know, there's an example that we gave where you saw Beis, and then Aleph, and you have to stay away Aleph and Beis. But in the case of the Haflaga, Moshi is hold there's only such a thing as one interval. As soon as you have see again, then it's a different interval. So the old interval disappears. So she sees, let's say 24 days, and then the next time she sees 26 days, and we count a flog of 26 days, 24 is gone.
Okay.
And according to most shitas, again, there is a sheet of the Beis Meir, but I'm not going into it. Even if she sees the other way, she sees 26 days, and then she sees 24 days, according to most shitas, she still, she only keeps 24 days, and she does not keep 26 days. Okay, if one was already Mekayim Puravu and you want to ask a shayla to a Rav, I'm telling you, it's called a sheet of the Beis Meir, you could speak to your Rav. Okay, so that's, I mean, I think the Haflog is clear. We don't have to go into many examples. Now, the third cheshbon that she has to make is the Ayin Beinonis, which is the, according to the Iker Shita that we pass in is that it's 30 days. It's really a machlaikis, what the Ayin HaBeinonis is. It's a three-way machlaikis. It's a machlaikis between the Shach and the Taz and the Chavis Das. The Shach says that the Ayin HaBeinonis is really the same thing as the Yom HaChodesh. The Taz says that the Ayin HaBeinonis is a separate thing, and it's day 30. That since the average woman in those days used to see every 30 days, so therefore, if a woman does not have a set cycle, we are afraid that maybe she'll be like the average woman, like we say, go after the majority, and the majority of women saw every 30 days, so therefore we're afraid she'll get her period 30 days later, so you have to stay away 30 days, whatever the oina was. So she saw by day, 30 days later, by day. And the shita, that's the shita of the Taz, and the Chavis Das holds no. It's true that there is such a thing as oina beninus, which is separate from the Yom HaChodesh sometimes. However, it's not day 30, but it's day 31.
Who's
Chavis Das? I forget who it is. Lahalocha, we hold that the Iker Shita is that we hold day 30 is the Iker Hadin. We pass him like the Taz. And as a Chumra, many Bnei Yeshiva keep the day 31 as a Chumra because the Chavis Das says that that's the Ayin HaBeinonis.
Yeah, it's one on the right.
Yeah, one. Well, yeah, I didn't get to the Arzurua yet, but yeah. So it's 1-0 for right now.
It's 1-1.
So what do you do 30-31?
To keep for right now, all we're up to is you're keeping the. You would stay away. I'm not finished with the calculations. Right now, you would stay away on day 30 for 1-0.
Yep.
And you stay away 31 for 1-0. There is a shita that holds 24 hours. The pill doesn't hold that. So the way I'm saying
so
it
for
over
example, if it was on
is 1-0
on the 30th day at night, it would be. From sunset to sunrise, and then winter, and then from sunset.
And then, yes, correct.
So it will be
that's how
12.
I'm telling you how Rabbi Hillel says it. You could speak to, you should speak to your Rav to find out what he holds by an opinion. But yes, this is how Rav Hillel holds. Yes. So again, if you heard differently, yes, then it could be your Rav has a different chumrah, and maybe that, maybe doesn't hold of the chumrah of 31. I don't know.
36 hours.
Okay. So he holds, that means he holds day 30 is 24 hours.
Yes.
And day 31 is only a chumrah for 12 hours. Okay. I there is such a chumrah. Okay. As I said, I'm telling you how Rav Hillel holds in terms of day 30. That's also a chumrah. Now, besides, now I should mention that sometimes day 31 is not a chumrah. Sometimes day 31 becomes an ikar hadin. For example, she saw an Aleph Nisan. If you look at your calendar again, how many days later is Aleph Iyar?
Day 31.
It's day 31. If we count from Aleph, one, two.
Okay.
Right? So this is day 30. So Aleph, from Aleph Nisan to Aleph Iyar is day 31. In which case, 31 days is not a chumrah, it's an ikar adin, because it's Yom HaChodesh. Only when you go the other way, when you go from the next month, because the next month has only 29 days, if you go from Iyar to Sivan,
right,
then Aleph to Aleph is 30, Aleph Iyar to Aleph Sivan is 30 days, and Beis Sivan is 31 days, which is not a Yom HaChodesh, and it would be the chumrah of following the Shita of the Chavis Das. Okay, besides separating from your spouse on the Oina of the Yom HaChodesh, and the Haflogo, and the Oina Beinonis, so there is a Shita of the Arza Rua, which most Bnei Yeshiva follow, which is not only to stay away on the actual Oina itself that she saw last time, like if she saw last time by day, on Aleph, or let's see, on Beis by day, then not only to stay away from that Oina, but also the Oina before to stay away. It's known as the Shita of the Arzarua. And if you want the understanding of the Arzarua, we'll explain it to you after share. And therefore, it would come out that you have to stay away an extra three onos. You'd have to stay away on. Let's pick an example. Let's do an example. If, let's just say she got a period on Aleph, and then she got a period again on Chof Ches. Okay, so let's just work through. So this is how you would make your calendar. It's a very, everyone's afraid of the calendar as if it's a very scary thing. It's not scary, it's very simple. From Aleph to Chav Ches is 28 days, and the day of the month is 28, and she got it by day. So you make the calculation. First thing you do is you circle the day, and you write down daytime. So you know, you won't forget that it was by day, and you won't forget that she got a period on Chav Ches. And you calculate from there. You go backwards to Aleph. You count Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet until you get to Chof Ches. You realize it's 28 days. So it's a 28-day haflogo, and it's Chof Ches in the month. So you count forward from Chof Ches. You go Chof Ches. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. So 28 is Chof. So yeah, the way I do it is I make a box around it. You could use your own, make an X if you like, whatever you like. So stay away on Chav Ches and write down daytime. Okay. And then we keep continue. That was 28. Keep going. 29, 30. So Chav Zayin, 1 minute. First let's do the main Oinus. We'll do the Arza Ruas afterwards. Chav Zayin is going to be 30. Chav Ches is going to be
31.
Chav Ches is 31, but it doesn't matter because Chav Ches is the day of the month. Because when you're going from Nisan to Iyar, the day of the month is the same day of the month is going to be 31 days later. Because Nisan is Malay. So, right. So now, so far we have Xtorf or Bakstorf, 3 days in the month. Chav Hei, Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches. Those are an Ikar Hadin. You have to stay away during the day. Now, according to the Arzarua, which as I said, most Bnei Yeshiva stay away, you also have to stay away. I didn't photocopy nicely. I happen to like this calendar because the bottom of each box is really pink. It's hard to see. It's really supposed to be an arrow there. See the words Arla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Arla just means the night of. So Arla Chav Hei. This example, Thursday, it's the wrong. Well, if you have the night time, Thursday night is the night of Chav Hei, or the night before the Yom HaFlogo.
Yeah.
So you have to stay away over here because of Arzarua. We have to stay away on Sunday night in this calendar because it's the... No, I'm sorry.
No, you're
not. Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos. It is Sunday night, but... Matzah Shabbos first because it's the night before Chav Zayin, the day of Chav Zayin, and Sunday night because that's the night before Chav Ches. So Thursday night, Matzah Shabbos, and Sunday night are all the Chumrah of the Urza Ruach. Okay, if you have a question, if you should keep this Chumrah, you should speak to your Rav. Okay, next. Now, so now we have a calendar. Now, what would be, we'll have to see, what will be if Chav Ches was not the day of the month, but it was day 31, then we'll see in a minute whether or not there's going to be an Urza Ruach. So now, what do you stay away from? What does it mean, Yimachiz, to stay away? What are you staying away from? So the Ikar Adin is to stay away from Tashmish, which would mean in this example that you would be Aser on Thursday night, Friday day, Matzah Shabbos, Sunday day and Sunday night, and Monday day, Aser and Tashmish. However, on the main Oinois of the Yom HaChodesh, Taflog and Oin HaBeinonis, so there is a Chumr which comes from the Shach, that he says you should also stay away from hugging and kissing. And he says that if somebody that's machmir, tavay olav brocha. So, again, the Shach says that not only should you stay away from Tashmish, but on the main oinus, not on the Urza Ruach. Yeah. In our example, on Friday by day, on Chav Hei by day, Chav Zayin by day, and Chav Ches by day, not only to stay away from Tashmish, but also from hugging and kissing. And he says that somebody that's machmir, to stay away from Chibuk Minisha, is tavay olav brocha. He will get a bracha.
I have a daughter.
So, for some people, the bracha is to get a son. Anyway, I always say to Chassanim, I say we could consult your Rav whether or not this is also a chumrah. I'm saying clearly I want to be very clear what's a chumrah. We'll see, it's very important to know what's a chumrah and what's a ikar adin. But we do crazier things to get a segula for this and a segula for that. If the Shach promises you a bracha, so it's a good thing if he takes care of you up in Shemayim. So, if you can manage it and it doesn't cause Shalom Bayis problems, it's probably a good idea. Okay, now what about during the time of the Urza Ruah, for example? Over there, you want only have, even if you keep the Chumrah of the Urza Ruah, you only have to stay away from Tashmish. Because the rule is, we never do a Chumrah on a Chumrah. You want to be Machmer? Okay, good. But you don't have to do a Chumrah on top of a Chumrah. So even if you stay away the night times that we said on Thursday night, Motzei Shabbos and Sunday night, but that's a chumrah of the Urza Ruah. So one only has to stay away from Tashmish and not from hugging and kissing. Not only that, but also in the example that we gave of day 31. Assuming day 31 is not the Yom HaChodesh, in our example it is. So Chav Ches is the Yom HaChodesh anyway. But what about the next month from Iyar to Sivan? In that case, the day of the month will, let's say, went from Chav Ches to Chav Ches, so that would be day Chav Ches to Chav Ches would be 30 days, and then Chav Tes Sivan would be day 31. So the night before that would be Mutter, because day 31 is only a Chumrah that we're keeping because of the Shita of the Chavis Das. So even if one wants to be Machmer, like the Shita of the Chavis Das, still to keep, you only have to be Machmer to stay away from Tashmish. But not a chumrah and a chumrah, you're not mechuyev to stay away from hugging and kissing. Okay, I'll get to the last halacha in a minute. I'm just going to go out of order for a second. It's very important to know what's a chumrah, what's ikar adin. You asked before, what about if a woman has to go to the mikvah? In our example, we gave an example, she saw an aleph and yud tes. But what if, let's say she saw an aleph to chaf. And then it comes out that if she counts 12 days later, she needs to go to the mikvah. Let's say she saw an aleph by night. It was the night of aleph. And then she sees it. Well, that's not so important. Excuse me. She saw an aleph and then she saw the night of chaf. And then she counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then she counts shiva nikiyim. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So she... Oh, did I get that right? I messed it up. One, two, three, four, five, six. No, that's not a good example. Let's just saw a new test. Let's just say she's ready to go to... She had a very short period. And I think it's really a test is a better example. And then she's ready to go to the mikvah. And that night is a Yom HaChodesh. Or that night is a Yom HaFlog. So we pass in that one should that she should not go to the mikveh because she's going to be usher in tashmish. Even though it's a very big mitzvah, when a woman goes to the mikveh and she comes home, it's the biggest after the chasen. It's the biggest chiv that a person has to his wife. It's the biggest chiv. I don't want to use the word item. We're going to confuse it. But the biggest chiv that a person has to do tashmish is a big mitzvah. However, it doesn't push away the iser to stay away on a yom hachodesh or a yom haflaga. But what about, let's say she got a period last time by day, and now you're only staying away at night because of an arza ruah? Or let's say you're only staying away because it's the night time, but it's the night time of 31, and it happens to be that she had a very short period and she wants to go to the mikvah. And in that case, since it's only a chumrah, so then the chiyiv of leil tvila pushes away the chumrah of the arza ruah or the chumrah of day 31. Not only that, but it's also, I should mention, agav the halacha, if someone happens to be going away on a business trip for some reason and he's going to be away for a few days, during which time he would probably miss having tashmish with his wife, so therefore there's a chiyiv before he leaves, to have tashmish with his wife, to fulfill her emotional and physical needs, and that's a mitzvah. And in that case, let's say he's leaving that night, he's going to be leaving early the next morning, so the night before, he has a mitzvah to have tashmish. Night of 31, or that night is a chumrah of arza ruah. In that case, the chiyuv to have tashmish pushes away the chumrah of day 31 or the chumrah of the arza ruah. Okay? Fine. Now, it's very important to remember, and very often chassanim forget this, that during the main oinos, the yom haflaga, the yom hachodesh, and the oin habeinus of day 30, not the chumrah of 31, and not during the arza ruah, but during the primary oinos, a woman is required to do two bedikas, one in the beginning of the oina, one in the end of the oina. This is obviously only if she is not sensitive and she's able to do two. She's very sensitive and she has problems doing bedikas, then she should only do one. This obviously should be discussed with Yirah. But as a lechatchila, she should do two bedikas. One of these two bedikas done. One is done in the beginning of the oina. Let's say it's by daytime, so she does one in the morning when she wakes up, which is the beginning of the oina, and one she does one a little bit before shkia. Now, if it's the nighttime, there's a machlokes. Most shitas hold that you do one after shkia and one in the morning when she wakes up. This is how Reb Feigl holds and others hold. I know that Reb Hillel holds that you do one in the right after shkia and you do one before she goes to sleep. Now, each one has a mile and a chasarin. If you do it at night before she goes to sleep, she's doing a second bedika during the oinah, during the nighttime, which is when you expect her to see blood. Okay, what happens when she's sleeping? She's sleeping, okay. She's not mechuyev to do a bedika then. The other way, you're doing a bedika in the morning, which is really after the oinah, but at least you're able to catch. If there would have been any blood during the time that she was sleeping, you would see it in the morning when she wakes up. Each one has a ma'ala and a chasar, and I know that most shitas hold, I think the minig that most people follow is to do it in the morning, but Reb Hillel holds differently. You should one after shkia, and one in the morning when she wakes up. If it's a nighttime oina, one after shkia, the beginning of the night, and one in the morning when she wakes up. No, absolutely not. She should not wear white underwear. No mitzvah whatsoever. She's going to cause herself problems. Okay, now, what happens if she forgets?
Well, let's say she finds blood in the morning, I mean.
She has to do bedikah, she'll find it in a bedikah cloth. Then if she finds blood on bedikah cloth, any little bit of blood is going to make her need it. But she's not mechuyev to wear white underwear. So if she's not mechuyev, she shouldn't. What happens if she forgets to do bedikah? So we pask in that on the yom haflaga and the Yom HaChodesh, if she forgets, so she forgot, okay, forget about it. On the Oinavainanis, we hold that she should do, before she has Tashmish, if she forgot, and she realizes before she had Tashmish, she's mechuyev to do a bedikah before she has Tashmish. So because we consider it to be, the Oinavainanis is considered to be, according to most shitas, considered to be the most strict Aina, since the majority of women got their period on day 30, so therefore, that's the one they have to be most careful about. And even if she forgot, she still should do a bedikah before she has tashmish. Okay. And if for some reason, I mean, this is kedai, you have to be careful again how you approach your wife and not to, you can't mish in things that are their business, which these things are, but it's worthwhile. Firstly, it's worthwhile to do, when you do the calendar, when you sit down to do the calendar, it's worth it to do it together. So that if you make a mistake, she'll catch you. If she makes a mistake, you'll catch her. And like this, both of you will learn, make sure you keep the halachas together, and you'll both remember better. You remember, it was Gimel. And then when Gimel comes around the next month, you remember, let me take the calendar. Which day was it? You remember better. Two people could remember better than one, instead of leaving it totally to her or leaving it totally to you. But it's kedai sometimes just to remind her, sometimes they forget. Even though they learned once that's supposed to do bedikas, but in a nice way, just to remind her, did you remember to do a bedika? Oh, you took care of it? Okay, good. And if she forgot, so then she'll make a bedika on the aina. Even if she'll remember, she has to stay away from tashma. She might forget that she has to do bedika. It's worthwhile to remind her in a nice way. Okay, this basically covers most of the halachas of the calendar. We have to get back to that shayla about lamed. I don't remember what the halach is. We're together already. It's probably today to go over it. I feel better than that. I was hoping to do the calendar in 45 minutes and then it would finish up. Okay, we'll do it now, and if we get together a different time, we'll do it maybe a little bit more extensively. Just to go over a little bit about Shalom Bayis, I know that Moshe Dan covered a number of interesting topics, and I just want to focus a little bit on something that he touched on, but to talk a little bit more extensively about specifically the area of communication. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, according to one pshat, they were created as one. They were back to back. Adam and Chava were created, two parts of them together, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them and made them two separate beings. And then he told them to reunite together. Now how do you take two separate beings that think two separate ways and reunite together with this other person? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a power, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew in a wind, which the Targum teaches is Ruach Memalolo, which means that Hashem granted the person the ability to speak. And by speaking, he's able to communicate with another person, to communicate his feelings, to communicate his thoughts, which is what speech is. It's the physical manifestation of someone's thoughts that you speak out into words. And with this, you're able to reunite with this other person called your wife. Now, there's a psychologist by the name of Markman. I should say much of what I'm going to say comes from various different tapes that I listened to or different books that I looked at. Most specifically, a speech that my father gave, which was quite extensive. And I'm just picking out different nekudas from his speech and from other speeches that I listened to in preparation for this topic. So there's a psychologist by the name of Markman who did research, and he found that there are three main ingredients to creating a lasting marriage. And these three are communication, good problem-solving skills, and a feeling of safety, which is created by knowing that your partner is totally and completely committed to this relationship. And all three are extremely important. And the last one we're not going to touch on so much, we'll touch on a little bit, but it's difficult to have a strong relationship when you're not sure that person is really in it for you, which is part of what is created during Shana Rishena, when you have two people that are, they don't really know each other, the first year of marriage, when you really begin to trust the other person. You see that you get through bumps in the marriage and you get through them, and you see the person is really committed. And to try to make this into a real relationship, that makes the other person feel safe. When you feel safe, then you're able to really communicate and really try to develop a deep relationship with the person. That was the last thing. To start with the first topic of communication, so before we get to the few aspects of communication, again, I don't think we'll have time to finish the topic, but we'll at least cover a little bit. And if it helps us, at least till the next time we ever get together, it's kedai to discuss it now. In order to really understand communication better, we have to understand where some of the problems in communication exist. The first problem in having good communication is a lack of a good model, a role model in communication. We never had a class, maybe some people did, we never had a class, definitely, even if we had a class in college of communication, you didn't have a class in communication with a wife. And even if someone's parents had good shalom bias, but you may not have seen them deal with difficulties, you may not have seen them thrash out an issue, and how they dealt with different things, and nobody sat there and said, this is what you have to do. And therefore, even if we have some models of good communication, and we may have seen some aspects of it in our parents' home or in other people's homes, but you really have to learn and be committed to learn good communication and to practice it. In the beginning, it may be very, forced. It may seem very unnatural. And eventually, as you pick up different techniques and you learn and practice, it becomes normal. And it could really enhance your relationship. So that's the first thing. The first problem is just a lack of good models and a lack of knowledge, and which is simply fixed by learning it and practicing it. The second issue we mentioned before is that both partners have to feel safe in the relationship.
So what are the keys for good communication?
I'm going to get to that later. First, I want to deal with the problems, and then we'll deal with what are some of the things. I'm not going to discuss everything, but some of the things that will help good communication. So the first problem is a lack of a good model. Now we could fix. The second thing is that both partners have to feel safe. If you want your wife to really listen to you, she has to feel that you're really committed to this relationship. If she doesn't feel safe and feel that there's a real commitment, then she's not going to really want to listen to you. Why should she bother listening to this whole thing and dealing with this whole issue if there's no real commitment to this relationship? I mean, obviously, I certainly hope none of us has that problem, but if a husband would have one foot out the door, and he's always, every so often, he mentions the D word, known as divorce, chas v'shalom, then she's not going to be interested in working out the bumps in the marriage if he has one foot out the door. So each partner has to really feel safe in this relationship. Now, I heard an interesting part, why this is true. I didn't have a makar. I haven't heard it on tape. That since Adam was created, min ha'adama, Adam was created from the earth, and Chava, if you go to the other pshat, Chava was created out of a chelik of Adam. So Adam, being a man of earth, is very interested in the bottom line. He's interested in being instrumental. What's the tachlis? Dig into the earth. What has to be done here? It gets down to work. What's the issue at hand? He's not interested in all the feelings and the emotions. Chava, on the other hand, was created as a chelik of Adam. She was a part of Adam. Therefore, she's not min ha'adama, but she's part of a feeling, feeling emotional living being. And therefore, she seeks to reunite to all those emotions and feelings. So therefore, men are more instrumental, and women are more emotional and into details. Okay, maybe it's true. Just a little interesting tidbit. Okay, so these are some issues in communication, and knowing that they exist already can help us to, to have better communication. See, I'm not going to be able to do this properly in 20 minutes, but... it's really be a share for itself. All right, LMC ready. We'll go over a few more points, and then maybe we'll do this again a different time. If I have to repeat myself next time, then... all right, you'll have to sit through the beginning again. The most important point, if I had to pick one point, there's a lot of points. If I had to pick one point that's the most important in communication, or two points, I would say communication has to be done with respect. That has to do with, this applies to communication and to problem solving. If there is no respect for the other person, then there is a breakdown in communication. The Rambam says that a person has to be mechabed his wife more than himself. When you talk, you want someone to listen, not to tune you out. So when she talks, you have to be mechabed her. She deserves the respect that she'd be listened to. That means that you're not busy with the computer, and you're not busy on the phone, and you're not busy playing with something, and you're looking at her, and you're paying attention to her. And if you're not ready to talk to her, then tell her, you know what, now is not a good time. I can't do it now. There's no point in communication, as we said before, is connecting to the other person. If you're going to connect to another person, then you can't be busy with something else. She wants to talk to you. If she wants to talk, then in order for her to connect to you, she has to have a listener. So to listen, you have to really listen and not be busy with something else. Part of that respect is also being able to control yourself in answering her back. You may want to right away answer her back. You know, you have an answer. She's saying, you know, she says something, you have an answer. You have to control yourself. Listen to her. Give her the respect and hear her out. The other half of that, or part of that, which is showing her that you really listen, is to be mechat, to really respect her and show her that you really listen, is something called validating, which we'll touch upon now. I'm already reaching the end of the CD time, which is 80 minutes, so I'll have to finish with this, which is when validating, the word validate in English means to say that what you're saying has a basis. You know, it could be accepted. Is it right or wrong? It's not important. By giving her validity to what she says, you are saying, you have a right to have an opinion. I may not agree, but you're a human being, and you have opinions, and I married you because I think you're very smart, and you have opinions. Now, those opinions may or may not be what I think, but I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to give you the respect to show you that I heard what you said, and I understand what you said, and I want to hear what you said, and then maybe later I'll have a response. So the first step in really listening is, firstly, again, putting aside all the other things that you are busy with, making eye contact if possible, and really listening to her. And the next step in that is what we call validating. Another term for that is called active listening, which you may or may not have heard of before, which means, let's say she starts telling you, you know, I felt very hurt when you forgot to do something. It really bothered me. So then to validate what she's saying is, now you may have an excuse. Your excuse is not important right now. It's not a question of whether you're right or wrong. What's the point is that she felt hurt. And she's trying to tell you her feelings. Again, especially because she's a woman, she wants to express her feelings. Give her feelings validity. So then you express back to her, oh, so it bothered you very much, or it hurt you very much when I forgot it, because you feel like I don't care about it. That's it. You re-express what she says, not as a parrot, not as a tape recorder, but in your own words, you tell her, you express back to her what she says. What if she's giving you a whole drasha? Then you have to stop. You say, one second, I want to understand what you're saying. And you have to stop her in the middle. Not because you're not giving her the spirit. You're going to listen to her, right there. You will listen to what she has further. You have to stop her and reflect what she says. Now, this is very hard to do. The easiest thing, another gender difference between men and women, is men, especially when they feel attacked and they feel blamed for something or they are bothered by something, instead of talking about it, they tend to retreat into a cave. And they just draw into themselves. Not every man is like that, but generally speaking, men are like that. So if your wife is telling you right away that she's bothered because she's upset at you, so the natural instinct is to draw into yourself. Now, the problem with that is then she thinks you're not listening. In the meantime, you're feeling all these emotions. Oh, she's upset at me. Oh, no, what am I going to do? And you're not sure. And then other things pop into your head. Oh, no, it's not true. I didn't really do it. I forgot. I was an onus. It wasn't my fault. And all these things are going through your mind. And if that happens, you're not listening to her. You are not listening to her when you do that. You're busy either drawing into yourself or you're busy making up excuses. By forcing yourself, and it's very hard, by forcing yourself to tell her what she said, you are giving her the respect to show her that you really understood what she said, and you want to hear what she said, and you want to understand what she said. You may have to ask her questions, like, you know, what did it make you feel like when that happened? How would you like me to act differently? I mean, all different various questions that you could think of to show her that you're trying to understand what she said, and you want to know what to do next time, and you want to know what really bothered her, so you could really understand it, without excuses. this is one nekuda, which, I mean, if you think about these issues, at least we covered it a little bit, that the differences between men and women, of which there are more, and we'll cover it next time, and the respect which is necessary to be shown in communication, then if she really feels this, really could this, by the way, this could stop an argument in its tracks, because if you show her that you're really listening, she'll calm down right away. She's very upset, and she needs to let it out, and she wants to tell you how she's feeling. Now, if you either ignore her or you give an excuse, you say, "Oh no, that wasn't true, I didn't have that," she's getting more upset. If you say, "One second, I want to tell me again," so you tell her, "Oh, so I really hurt you when I did that." So then you're showing her that you're understanding what she said. You hear what she said. Then all of a sudden, she's already calming down. She's not finished. She's still upset. She didn't forget about it yet. Now she calmed down. Now there's no argument. You could talk about it. You could deal with it. Eventually, you could try to find a solution to it. You could figure out what to do next time. But this really could diffuse a lot of situations just by this simple rule of communication, which is paying attention and reflecting and validating her feelings. All right, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll find another time. I have to find a time when I guess it's better for some more people also, and we'll get together and talk about this some more.